As we look at essentials for the body, talking about the physical body as I start this message, we find that oxygen is essential. We know that water is essential to the body, and we know that food is essential to the body, especially for this body. Food is essential. Glasses are not essential in order to live. Now, it's nice to have glasses, but you realize there were generations before us that didn't have glasses, but they still lived because glasses are not essential in order to live. Now, you probably don't want to be on the opposite side of the road of me if I don't have my glasses. And you may not live very long without glasses, but they're not essential to live. Fingers are not essential to live. You know, I can lose a finger. Matt Parks knows a little bit about that. Some others know a little bit about that, losing a finger. That's a painful thing. But you can still live without a finger. It's not an essential to live. Eyes are not essential to live. Fanny Crosby lived for a number of years, wrote some beautiful hymns that we sing. But Fanny couldn't see, but she could live. It wasn't essential for living. They're nice to be able to see. A foot is not essential for living. You know, somebody can face an amputation. Sometimes somebody will get up in age and their diabetes will set in such a fashion that they have to lose part of their leg. And yet, lose part of your leg or die, which one would you choose? You'd choose to lose part of your leg, probably, because it's not essential for living. You could still live without part of a leg, but you can't live without the essentials of oxygen, food, and water. You can't live without the essential of a heart that is working properly. If somebody took out your heart, that would be the end of life. If somebody took out your brain, that would be the end of life. There are some essentials for the body, and there are some essentials for the work of the ministry. And we are in a series on ministry essentials. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first essential for believers to be used by God in the local church, and that is faithfulness. One of the ministry essentials that we learned is that faithfulness is the starting point to being used by God. You want to be used by God. You want to get in a local church and impact others for Christ. You want to be a part of ministries. Faithfulness is the starting point. It is an essential. If you can't be relied upon to be in church, then you can't be relied upon to be in a ministry. Faithfulness to our services is an essential. But then as we come to the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, there's another ministry essential that jumps off the pages of Scripture at us this evening. And that is the phrase that the people of the church in this ministry need in Acts chapter 6 were to find seven men that were honest of honest report. But the phrase I want to key in on tonight is they were to look out among them and find seven men that were full of the Holy Ghost. Or a second essential of ministry, of local church ministry, is being full of the Holy Ghost. They didn't say the need is urgent, just find anybody we can use. And by the way, it was an urgent need. There were widows that were being neglected. There were needs that were being left undone by the church. The ministry was growing. The needs were growing. They were overwhelming. And they needed to meet those needs. But they didn't just need to meet those needs with anybody that breathes. The requirements that were given, one of them included being full of the Holy Ghost. Why do you think this qualification was listed in Acts chapter 6? I mean, according to the text, there were two things that they were going to do. Number one, they were going to minister to widows. And number two, they're going to serve tables. That doesn't seem to include preaching. That doesn't seem to include prayer. It may include prayer, but the big things that we would think, boy, somebody needs to be full of the Holy Ghost to do that. It wasn't those things. It was serving tables. It was cleaning up after people ate. And it was serving food to people on tables. And it was ministering to the widows. But the qualification was, one of the qualifications was they must be full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because, brethren, ministry to others done in the flesh cannot please God. And all of us can get there. Because men full of the Holy Ghost will have God's leading in their ministry. If you're full of the Holy Ghost and you go to the nursing home ministry and you're yielded to the Holy Ghost, there's a good chance the Holy Ghost is going to give you what to speak to somebody that's in need at the nursing home. If you go to the jail ministry and you're full of the Holy Ghost, there's a good chance that the Holy Spirit's going to impress upon you how to say what you're supposed to say and what you're supposed to say and what you're to refrain from saying and how you're to behave and how you're to act. And there's a good chance that the Holy Ghost is going to bring a need right before you to meet if you're full of the Holy Ghost. But if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, there's a good chance that you're going to miss opportunities and you're going to mess things up and you're going to mess people up. Not being full of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the qualification was that they would be full of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. None of us live perfectly in this arena. There are times where we're living in the flesh. And we do ministry in the flesh. But I want you to see tonight the essential of each of us being full of the Holy Ghost. You see, if we do things in the flesh, it will hinder and hurt the ministry. Men full of the Holy Ghost will see maximum impact through their ministry. Turn to Luke chapter 3, if you will. Luke chapter 3. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 3, it begins to shed light on the ministry of Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus Christ needed to be full of the Holy Ghost to do what he did? In chapter number 3, the Bible gives us some of the ministry of Christ. And then, actually, I want you to look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." The Bible says after he faced his temptation in verse number 14, Luke chapter 3 or chapter 4 and verse number 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about Jerusalem." Before temptation, he was full of the Holy Ghost. During temptation, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And when he came out of temptation and went to minister to others, he was full of the Holy Ghost. There was a characteristic about Jesus' ministry that ought to be true about our ministry, and that is that he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was yielded to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had control of him as he served God and served others. We have the example of Christ in Scripture. It is important for us to understand that the Spirit-filled life is God's plan and it is God's provision for every Christian. I don't care where you're at tonight in your Christian life. It may be that you're a brand new Christian and you just got saved. And understanding what being Spirit-filled is a difficult thing for you to understand. But it is God's plan for you. And it is God's provision for you to be under the control of the Spirit of God that dwells in you. You may be young here tonight. You may be an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 14-year-old. And you may say, "Preacher, I'm not sure what all that entails. You're saying that's God's plan for me." And yes, I'm saying it's God's plan for you. It's God's plan for every believer, regardless of where you're at spiritually in maturity, to understand and live out the truth, to be under the control of the Spirit of God. And when it comes to ministry, it is important that you are Spirit-controlled and that I am Spirit-controlled. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not given to the more mature Christian only. Neither is it given to just the Sunday school or the preacher or the missionary. It is God's plan for every Christian. For every servant of the Lord, it is God's plan for you to be under the control of the Spirit of God. And brethren, when a church is Spirit filled when the believers are under the control of the Spirit. There is great harmony. There is great impact. There is great power when we understand this truth and live it out in our lives. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, there are 120 in the upper room praying in Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 2, I want you to see in verse number 4, and they were, what's the little three-letter word of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4? They were all, the Bible says, filled with the Holy Ghost. All means all 120 people were under the control of the Spirit of God. It's no wonder what happened at Pentecost. You had 120 believers that were really intent on being under the control of the Spirit. And then they ministered. And then they spake. And then God did His work. But prior to that, all of them were under the control of the Spirit. If you're taking notes tonight, write down this statement. No Christian can reach their potential for God without being controlled by the Spirit or full of the Holy Ghost. You will never reach your potential for God without understanding this principle, this teaching, this practice in Scripture. And that is being full of the Holy Ghost. What are the evidences then, preacher, of someone who is full of the Holy Ghost? Tonight, I'm going to give you a number of evidences that we find in the Scriptures of being full of the Holy Ghost. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to examine yourself by these truths. And I want you to answer the question before the Spirit of God tonight, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Because it is an essential for ministry. In Acts chapter 6, when there were needs to be met, they didn't just pick anybody. They picked somebody that was full of the Holy Ghost. That's who they were to select. And they did. And God blessed their selections and God blessed the ministry in Acts chapter 6. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, we're looking at evidences and your job tonight is to examine yourself before the Lord with these evidences and say, and ask the question, am I full of the Holy Ghost? Now, full of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you get more of Him. You have all of Him. Full of the Holy Ghost means how much He has of you. Does He have all of you? And so one of the things that we find that He controls in Scripture is He controls our lips. One of the evidences of being full of the Holy Ghost is that we are bold to speak truth. That is an evidence of being full of the Holy Ghost. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. To be bold means to be direct. It means to be forthright. Some of us are gifted more in this area than others. Some of us have the gift of prophecy. That means we have no problem telling somebody, hey, this is wrong, you need to get this right. Some of us have a spiritual gift in this realm, okay? But the Spirit gives this to people. If we are under His control, we become bold and we become truthful. Or we become bold with truth. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 8. The Bible says here, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, or he's full of the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, watch these words, whom ye crucified. That's bold. Hey, I'm putting the burden on you, the people that I'm speaking to. It is you who crucified the Christ that I'm going to preach about. Peter was bold. By the way, he wasn't mean. And he wasn't angry. But he was bold. We can be bold without being mean or angry. We can be direct. We can be forthright with the truth. Brethren, when that comes, when you are stirred in your spirit to be bold with somebody, to communicate truth to them, to stand on it firmly, not to waver, not to give in on it, not to give an inch on it, not to say, oh, I can see it from your perspective, but to stand boldly on the Word of God, that is coming from the Spirit of God. That is a person that's full of the Holy Ghost. We need that in our ministries. We need that amongst Sunday school teachers. People that are bold with truth. We need that among soul winners. People that are bold with truth. We need that among Christians in the workplace. People that are bold with truth. And it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come because I work myself up. I'm going to do this. Boy, I'm going to do this. Boy, I'm going to do this. It comes from the Spirit. Peter was full of the Spirit, and as a result, there was an unusual boldness to declare forthrightly to those people truth so that their lives could be changed, so that they could be saved. The end result was wondrous, but the filling of the Spirit was important. We need people full of the Holy Ghost in the jail ministry when they go in to speak to those in jail. We need parents full of the Holy Ghost as they teach their children the gospel to be bold with it, with the truth. We need young people to be bold with the gospel. Listen to me, young person. You have some of the greatest effect that you can have in life is to be bold with truth, especially at your age. People kind of expect it from the preacher. They kind of expect it from the leaders of the church, but a 15-year-old who knows what they believe and stands on it? Are you kidding me? That's a wake-up call to our culture. That's, whoa, there's something unusual about that individual. That young person, I don't understand what's going on in their life, but they're bold. They're bold with the truth. And that can be in your life if you're yielded to the Holy Ghost and you're full of the Holy Ghost. There can be a boldness in your witness. Turn to Acts chapter 13. We see this again. This evidence of being bold with the truth. Are you bold with the truth? Or are you bashful with the truth? Bashful about truth. Bashfulness is not a sign of being full of the Holy Ghost. Boldness is a sign of being full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be bold with the truth. Look at what Paul said. In verse number 8 of Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, "But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" He was bold with the enemy. Paul was. And the Bible prefaces that by saying he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul wasn't out of order here. Paul was exactly in order here. He was under the control of the Spirit when he spoke these words. And by the way, they were direct words. When he calls him a child of the devil, that's a pretty direct terminology. But he was under the control of the Spirit when he said that, knowing that he was dealing with the enemy. And he was bold with the enemy. Bold in truth. Number two, what's another evidence of being full of the Holy Spirit? If you're taking notes tonight, write this one down. Being full of the Holy Ghost means being available for service. Means being available for service. Turn back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Philip, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, I need your help. Oh, what do you need? I need you to serve tables. I need your help with widows. There are growing needs in our church. And I'm looking at you, and I'm thinking that you're one of the people that could help with this. Well, you know, James, I was kind of hoping to work in the junior church. That didn't happen here. You have seven men who were confronted about a need. And you have seven men under the control of the Holy Spirit who said, "Okay, that's what you need. That's what we'll do. We'll get it done. And we'll try to get it done under the fullness of the Holy Spirit." These men were not disappointed. They were not selective in their service. They did what was needed. They were true servants. They rose to meet the need. They didn't say, oh, I don't like that, or I don't like to do that, or I'm not gifted. They didn't say, could you ask someone else? They didn't say, not right now. Spirit-controlled people, write this down, are service-oriented people. Spirit-controlled people are service-oriented people. One of the things that is encouraging your pastor's heart is that there are young that are stepping up and are looking for areas to serve in our church and taking on responsibility of service in our church. And that is evidence that the Spirit of God is working in their lives. There are new people here tonight that I have met with and I have talked with about ministry. In fact, I had a meeting before church tonight about someone new to our church, a new member, getting involved in the work of the ministry. And they are hungry to get involved. One person prayed this week, said, Lord, I don't want to pick my ministry. I want you to pick my ministry. And this morning there was a connection and she said, okay, I got it. Service-oriented people come from people that are responding to the Spirit of God in their lives. They are full of the Holy Ghost. There's a willingness attitude, as I preached about this morning. There's an attitude of service that I want to help the work of the Lord go forward. It was Kathy and Newton 3 weeks ago who said, preacher, can we church clean? Can we do that? Oh, there's a need there. And new people wanting to serve. That's an illustration of somebody that is hearing the Spirit of God, that is under the control of the Spirit, says, I want to be used by God. That's terrific. I commend that. May we keep that in our church. These men were humble enough and willing enough to do a very insignificant thing by human standards, serving tables. But it was the work that they sensed God called them to. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is where the need's at. This is what I'm going to give myself to. These were just ordinary men. But they were chosen by the congregation as men that were full of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. If there was a need that came up, would your name be on the list of people that person's full of the Holy Ghost? That person could meet that need. Would your name be on that list? Because evidently it was very clear in these lives that these names were on the list. These were the people that the church selected, brought before the apostles and said, gentlemen, you look at this, but we believe these men are the men to take care of this need. And the Bible says the church and the apostles and everybody seemed to agree on that. There must have been enough outward evidence that was manifested to say, that's one, and that's one, and that's one. And you know what? We got them here. This need could be met by people that have the qualifications to meet the need. The ministry essential of being full of the Holy Spirit. And then they went to them, and it was all the more confirmed because all these men said, yes. Yep, I'll do it. Yep, I'll do it. Seven of them in the church were available. That is a characteristic of being yielded to the Spirit. Folks, listen, what if everybody said, no, not right now? My life's busy, preacher. You know, all of our lives are busy. But one of the things we need to be busy about is the work of the ministry. And you know what? Many hands make lighter loads here at our church. And we need everybody on the rope. Yesterday they had the tug-of-war rope out there. There are a few young people pulling it back and forth. You know what? At Mount Zion Baptist Church, we need every member on the rope. We need every member pulling the rope. Pulling in the same direction. Pulling in the direction of the Holy Spirit. We need that. We need you on the rope. Maybe you're not on the rope right now. Maybe you're not available. We need to have you available. We need you on the rope. It said of Philip that he was so full of the Holy Ghost that he could have a revival wherever God put him. Man chose Philip to serve tables, but God chose him to win souls. Philip was chosen, hey, you take care of the widows and the table ministry over here. You just make sure those things get done. I will. I'll make sure those things get done. But he was full of the Holy Ghost, so he was also bold in what? Truth, or bold in the gospel. So in the midst of serving tables and in the midst of taking care of the widows, well, I'm not going to be a slipshod. I'm not going to be sloppy in my witnessing. That's going to go with me wherever I go. So the Spirit said to Philip, what? Go down to Samaria and join yourself to the Ethiopian eunuch. He was in tune with the Spirit of God. And God used him, watch this, much more than what the church could see. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, God uses you much more than what even we could put in your lap to be used by, because you're under the control of the Holy Spirit and you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice in your life. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He lines you up with people. Believers and unbelievers alike. The Spirit does that. Brethren, this is a ministry essential. Thirdly, being full of the Holy Ghost means keeping your eyes on the Savior. Turn to Acts chapter 7. In the midst of provocative times, it's easy to keep your eyes on Jesus when everything is all right and everything's going well. It's tough to keep your eyes on Jesus when you are provoked, when something doesn't go right, when difficulty arises. Look at Stephen. The Bible says in verse number 55, now watch this, in verse 54, they're gnashing upon him with their teeth. I don't think I've ever had that, where I was preaching and somebody, but that's what was happening as Stephen preached. These people were cut to the heart. By the way, he was bold in truth if you read Acts chapter 7. Verse number 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, if you're in that situation with these people and they are gnashing upon you with their teeth, there's a number of natural responses that I would have. Number one, I'd be thinking, who do you think you are? Number two, I'd be thinking, maybe I need to get out of here. Number three, I'd be thinking, well, if they're going to do that, I'm going to. Right? That's how Americans think today. You know, you're going to come after me, I'm coming after you. But not Stephen. Now watch this. He had not been stoned yet. The stoning happens after verses 55 and verse 56. What do we find Stephen doing in a place where he could have been provoked? Looking unto Jesus. What do you find when you're easily provoked? What's the response? You see, being full of the Holy Ghost means that when I'm provoked or I'm in a place where I can give a response, it means that before I give any response, I better get my eyes on the Savior. He looked steadfastly towards heaven, the Bible says. Steadfastly, interesting. It wasn't like this. He looked steadfastly. He kept his eyes there. You know what people full of the Holy Ghost do when they're easily provoked? They have an unusual switch of focus. Look steadfastly. The psalmist described it this way in Psalm 57. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give Thee praise. Psalm 112, verse 7 says this, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 2, it talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When are we to do that? When we're burdened down with weights and sins. when we're being persecuted, when we seem to have a right to launch back, look up. People full of the Holy Ghost do that. People full and under the control of the Spirit respond graciously when they are provoked. Fourthly, being full of the Holy Ghost means being fruitful. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, in verse number 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they went, sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and what? Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, Now, let me add something else here. And much people was added unto the Lord. Interesting that much people was added unto the Lord when Barnabas came, a man full of the Holy Spirit. You know why that's true? Because Barnabas invested his life in encouraging people to cleave unto the Lord. When you are under the control of the Holy Spirit, you will be genuinely interested in people's souls. That may be another believer's soul. That may be a lost soul. It may be a friend's soul, but you will be genuinely interested in people's souls. That's what Barnabas was interested in. And the Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And the result of it was that many people, the Bible says, were added here unto the Lord. Being full of the Holy Ghost will make you a lover of people. Well, preacher, my personality does not fit that. No, it doesn't by itself. Some of our personalities are not people personalities. But a Spirit-filled person will become a people personality. Now, that doesn't mean you're outgoing. That doesn't mean that you carry a lot of aura with you, that you're just a magnet to people. It just means this: you care about people. And you find ways to communicate to them and care about their souls. That is the characteristic of someone that's full of the Holy Ghost. You know what? We need that in all the ministries of our church. We need people that care about people. That's a sign of somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost. There's going to be fruit that's going to come from that life. If somebody's filled with the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit of God, they're going to be interested in people. By the way, there are some guys here, and you pull a lot of weight in things. But you know what? I'll tell you a lot about those guys. Those guys that do that, many of them in their heart, they're doing it for the sake of the people. They're doing it for the sake of the local church body. They're doing it so lost souls can come in. I've talked to many of our stewards. You know what they say? You know, preacher, I think that our building and our property being in good shape is an important testimony when people come to our church. I think they ought to be able to see that this place is taken care of, that this is God's house. Oh, that's a wonderful burden, isn't it? They're doing their work with a big goal in mind. And that big goal is to help people in their lives. Being full of the Holy Spirit means that we care about people. Fifthly, being full of the Holy Spirit means being full of joy. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The joy described here in Acts chapter 13 is as strange as a garden full of flowers in the bitter winter weather. If we had, like we did in April, 15 inches of snow, and you came over to my house and I talked to you, Tristan, you can't believe this. My flowers are blooming beautifully. You'd be like, what? There's 15 inches of snow on the ground. You got to be kidding. I said, no, come over. You got to see it. My tulips are up. All the different plants, the rhododendron, the heart, what's the one with the heart plants? What do they call that one? What is it? Bleeding hearts. There you go. My bleeding heart is going crazy. My flowers that I just planted are going crazy. And it's the dead heart of winter.
So would be described the joy in Acts chapter 13. In the heart of persecution, these believers were filled with joy. You can't believe these believers. They just lost family, relatives. People in the church, man, they just got their heads lopped off. And these people are full of joy. You got to come and see this. What? Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Now watch this. It's not talking about Paul and Barnabas in verse number 52. It's talking about the disciples that were in that city. And the disciples were filled with joy and with what? The Holy Ghost. They were able to be filled with joy amidst unbelievable circumstances. These were new converts. They were left in a heathen city. No helpers, no guides, to work out as best they might a faith of which they had but newly received, and they were full of joy. Huh. How? Because they were full of the Holy Ghost. People full of the Holy Ghost don't lose joy. They get joy. They maintain joy. They maintain it through circumstances. Because it is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. Sixthly, I'll move quickly, give you these, and I won't be able to go through all the Scriptures. Being full of the Holy Ghost means being controlled by spiritual songs. We find it in Ephesians chapter 5. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're controlled. That means you're under the influence. That means you're tempered by the right things and by the right music. That's a sign of being spirit controlled. You can't be controlled by a substance like wine or drugs and be controlled by the Spirit of God at the same time. You can't be controlled by anger and envy and bitterness and jealousy and be controlled by the Spirit at the same time. Full of the Holy Ghost means complete control. This person is under the complete control of the Holy Spirit and they're singing songs. And the Bible says they're thankful in all things, which is another evidence of being controlled by the Spirit. You're controlled by the Spirit of thankfulness. And you're controlled by a submissive spirit. The other evidences that the Bible presents. These are not my evidences. These are the Word of God. They're from the Word of God. That means they're evidences that God says, if you're full of the Spirit, these things are true. And my friend, the other side of it is, if these things are not true, then you are not full of the Spirit. Well, preacher, that just means I can't serve in my ministry. I'm just going to give up my ministry. No, what it ought to mean is that you get full of the Spirit. Because a ministry essential for everybody here is that we are full of the Spirit of God. Would you be identified by others as being full of the Spirit? What I'm speaking about tonight is a moment-by-moment filling. You can get out of it like that. You can speak a word that's wrong like that. You can get your heart attitude wrong like that. You can miss opportunities to witness and become bashful at the point of opportunity like that. And so we step out of being full, don't we? But what happens? We can what? Step back into being full. We can yield ourselves afresh and say, Spirit of God, I want you to control me. Lord, what happened just there was not an evidence of being under the control of the Spirit. Lord, I repent of that. And Lord, I'm asking that your Spirit would guide me the rest of this day. Lord, I need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Truth of the matter is, it's not just a ministry essential, it's a family essential. It's a workplace essential for Christians. It's an essential in your life. Does your life show the evidence tonight of being full of the Spirit?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart.
Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.